Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Hello, welcome, welcome. On est en direct depuis Localint bien. On est aussi en direct sur Lumpen Station. Et je fais une introduction en français parce qu'après ce soir, on va plutôt parler en anglais. Et donc, I will switch in English. Welcome everybody. Thanks for being here. So tonight we will share sort of experimental narrative, our radio drama, as they call it in German, or a movie totally in your mind because there is no picture, only sound. And the title is The Incredible Artist Career of, introducing Philip Kassel, Phil Kassel, had a nice career of artist, and then knew a lot of people, and we listened to people that have been close to Phil Kassel, and we hope that you could have a picture in your mind about him, about his practice, and you will enjoy knowing him and see his incredible career.
Ich kam im tiefsten Winter zur Welt, hab dreimal genießt, mich müde gestellt. Der Vater war wütend, er wollte einen Sohn. Ich sah mich so um und wusste auch schon, von nun an geht's bergab. Anschließend hatte ich nicht viel zu tun. Man ließ mich wachsen und zwischendurch ruhen. Aber nach ein paar Jahren, da sprach man spontan: Du musst jetzt was lernen, der Ärger begann. Von nun an ging's bergab. Mit 15 hatte ich eine Idee. Ich wollte zum Theater, Mama sagte nee. Man hätte mich enterbt, doch wir hatten kein Geld. Und ich folgte dem Ruf auf die Bretter der Welt. Von nun an ging's bergab.
We will be glad that Phil Kassel has exhibited in Bill. Journal du Jura, 15 November 2015. The artist Phil Kassel visited Bill for the duration of a performance festival, and his name stands out, as the other artists invited were essentially young artists under 30. Without false modesty, he told us that he is particularly attached to the city of Bill and has an excellent memory of the town. In fact, when he was still unknown to the international art world, he had exhibited at Localint in a completely confidential venue. Despite, as all artists from outside the city arouse less public interest than the local glories, Phil Kassel recalled that night as an excellent moment. The atmosphere was quite different last night, because the audience included a contingent of people from other towns and even a small delegation of Swiss Italian from Ticino. It is a rare opportunity to see performing Phil Kassel free of charge and outside the trendy capitals of the world. Indeed, everyone is snapping him up, and it looks like his calendar will be full for the next few years. At Espace Libre, he offered a sensitive, modest work, as usual, in contrast to the extravagance of his look. For a short minute, he repeated, "I am happy," a banal phrase which in its repetition opens up a variety of interpretation, sometimes leading us to believe that it reflects the artist's state of mind, sometimes that he thinks quite the opposite. In short, awakening in us a sense of empathy and the desire to deepen our human relationship when confronted with seemingly banal phrases. In conclusion, this time we were happy in Bill not to have missed the direct experiences with the work of this incredible artist.
I clearly remember the day when Phil moved in. He arrived with this huge car packed with, well, electronics, I guess. Keyboard, loop machine, chaos pad, you name it. And I could tell he was working with sound, music. Yeah, musicians kind of recognize each other, you know. And during a week or so, he transformed his room into this studio-like rehearsal room. And that was when I started to realize that he was onto something big. You know, he wasn't just my regular musical flatmate, but he was an artist. And at first, to be honest, it kind of intimidated me. You know, all this competitive thinking about careers and stuff. But he was just the most respectful and understanding person. And besides of giving me this genuine insight into his creative process, he also impressed me with his ability to transform part of my classical music training into, well, yeah, into really new sounds. And years later, long after he moved out though, I recognized parts of these new sound themes in my own work as well. So for a period of time, we were not only living together, but also inspiring one another, you know? And even today, when composing my music, I try to sneak in a little fill part, a small intermezzo, or even just the notes at the beginning of the song to remind me of these golden days with Phil. And I really take comfort in this idea, you know, even though he's gone now, that his influence on the contemporary sound landscape is still shaping its form.
The first time I saw one of Phil's works was years ago in this off space called La Plume. It was a pretty small off space back then, featuring a lot of emerging young artists, and a friend of mine did a group show there. A lot of painting, a lot of drawing. And I went there to meet with a young painter that later on became one of my best-selling artists. But anyways, when I got there, Phil had just started this performance. And within seconds, I was mesmerized. I was absolutely captured by it. You can imagine Phil going around the room and just whispering into people's ears. And I always thought, even years later, that it was a really, really intelligent work somehow. I mean, if you think about storytelling, it's one thing to tell a story to a whole audience, but it's another one to tell the story in fragmented bits to the people listening, but to everyone, just a little snippet. And if you think about it, this, when we whisper, we tell a story that we don't want everyone to know, right? It's a secret, that's what we whisper, or some gossip about someone. Whispering is somehow something pretty intimate. You're really close to a person, and you also tell something that you wouldn't tell everyone. Otherwise, why would you whisper? And what Phil did was telling a story, but only telling bits of the story to every person. And I thought that was really clever. Having this, yeah, you can see it as a puzzle. Everyone has a piece of it, of the bigger narrative, but you probably won't ever manage to put it all together. And in this way, I mean, performances are often, or always, you could say, ephemeral, but Phil's performance was even more ephemeral. It didn't even exist as a whole in our heads, in our memories, because in our memories there was only a split part of this whole. And there was also something maybe even a bit intrusive to it. I mean, going this close to someone that you don't know, a stranger. Something almost too personal, but then again not, because you don't hear the whole story. Yeah. And I thought, and I still think to this day, that this is a work that really captures what was going on around that time. Yeah, I was really intrigued intrigued by this young artist, but I only buy paintings and sculpture. That's what I built my business around, and that's what my clients want to buy. So it was never in the picture to sign a contract before. I'm also a bit glad about that, because in Phil's later work, it just doesn't catch me anymore. But yeah, the first one, that was definitely something. Well, after that, I didn't actively follow Phil. I didn't have to. I mean, I always heard a lot of my curator friends were obsessed with Phil, and Phil was in all sorts of shows, and I mean, it was good, but it was just never as captivating as this first piece I saw. Yeah, but what I have to say is that Phil had always this a good feeling for a room and for people and how people perceive sound. Like this dialogue, that's something that never really left the work.
Yeah, this is the building where Phil and I grew up. I know him, I think we were both 8 when his family moved to Germany. So yeah, we lived in this building. I can show you around a bit if you want. Yeah, Phil, he was always a bit weird, you know, but I liked him. We spent a lot of time together in the forest, and also, you know, here is a lot of echo. And Phil, since he was a kid, he was always fascinated with sounds. I remember we used to like make sounds in this staircase, and also we spent a lot of time in the forest. Yeah, so this is the forest where we spend a lot of time together. Phil really loved the forest. He always wanted to go there. We used to spend our whole weekends here. Yeah, and I think you can find a lot of those forest elements in his work. And actually one of his latest work, I don't know his latest work, but this work I know because it was inspired by a game we played in our childhood. I don't remember how this sound installation was called. But I think it was a work he did in 2013 for this gallery in London. Sorry, I think it was called like woods or like tree. No, maybe trunks. But like it was this game we played as kids where we spent the whole day in the forest and we only communicated together by you know, knocking, clapping on the tree trunks. I remember when he started like playing in clubs, I always went, always, because I wanted to support him, you know. For me, like, the woods were always in his sound pieces. Sometimes it was a really dark wood. A lot of time it was a really dark wood, you know, when it's a storm and the wind is really blowing and it's starting to rain also a bit and the woods are really dark. Like, for me, his sound at the beginning was really this atmosphere, and I loved it because, I mean, it reminded me of our childhood together. Yeah, you know, he was always like in love with the forest, and I think also that's why he decided to become a carpenter. But when he discovered like sound art and all the art world, he was just so happy, and I could like see like that he had all this energy and all this inspiration. I mean, but he worked so much, like, he worked as a carpenter at the day, and then during the night he just was in his room making all those sounds and trying to like make connection, going to a lot of concerts and vernissages, and yeah, I really don't know how he handled all this. I could have never, like, I think he had maybe like 4 hours of sleep a night or something. Yeah, so this was the place where Phil told me the first time that he was thinking about taking another name, an artist name. I think it was after a vernissage. We were a bit drunk. I don't remember the vernissage because, you know, I was not really in the art world. I had no clue. I was just there to support Phil. And Phil had this sound performance. And then he was like getting noticed by some people, but he was really annoyed because they were all only talking to him about, you know, his origins and his, like, from where he is from due to his family name. And I mean, I get it. This is really annoying if you want to tell something, put the message out there through your art, and then people just want to talk about where you're from. This, I get that this pissed him off, I guess. And so he told me he wanted an artist name, and after a few beer we went to his place and he just took the map of Germany and just randomly put his finger on the map and said, like, this is going to be my new artist name. And so luckily, maybe he did it on purpose, we will never know, but luckily it fell on Kassel. And also, like, I think he set Kassel also as a goal for himself. It was his dream to, like, maybe being invited to the Documenta, you know. And also, like, this was the time where then he quit his job and he really started to, yeah, to just do his art and starting to become Phil Kassel.
Yeah, I was still a teacher at the time when Phil appeared at the school. I quite literally mean appeared. When you saw that figure cross the yard with that hair that seemed somehow, I don't know, hyper-real? Is that the word, maybe? As if it was floating above. I mean, after what happened, it's easy to say that the comparison is too obvious, right? But at the time, that's really how we perceived it. Phil was charismatic, if that's the word, and there is something ethereal, immaculate even about them. But theirs was an extravagance that was not showing off in shrill collars or weird shoes like other art students would wear in their first year, but passed almost unnoticed, as if it came from within. Phil was like a reincarnation of Bowie of some sorts, but in a normal body. Each time Phil went by, everybody went silent for a tiny moment. Un ange qui passe. And Phil was able to fill that void somehow. They had a true sense for liminal zones. I don't know if you remember the point in Parcours for Pina where the camera turns around the corner in that cave and what sounded like a distant seashore just one step ago suddenly turns into buzzing clouds of millions of butterflies. Well, to the ears, that's what stepping out of a dark forest to a sudden clearing is to the eye. It's utterly painful and quite touching at the same time. That shimmer. Phil's entire appearance was a stunning performance. As I said, just getting a coffee across the street would turn passers-by into an audience. They were witnessing a performance, even though they had never seen one, or even knew what a performance was. Well, you know there were rumors, and frankly it wouldn't surprise me if they were at least partly true. You had to be blind to ignore how June went all strange as soon as Phil was around. I mean, they must have suffered terribly to keep it a secret, if it's true what people say. Well, we'll never find out now, do we? Speaking of June, years after, at a studio party of hers, I happened to make the acquaintance of a hairdresser who knew Phil at the time and even regularly worked for them. Not like with other people who would come every couple of months or so to get a proper haircut. I mean, Phil's hair was work, even outside a project like Your Hair is the Weather, for which that same hairdresser, by the way, had cooperated with Phil and was even quoted for his collaboration, as you would otherwise quote an artistic partner or your camera person, or I don't know. Phil knew, of course, being a craftsman, how much of the magic happens in the small decisions you make working with the material, and that the important components of a conceptual work are rarely made with the intellect, but rather with your hands touching a surface, your ears listening to the tiniest sound, knowing what this shoulder-long hair must sound like when it ever so slightly touches the fabric of the dress on the shoulders. Ooh, I must have been fascinated quite a bit myself, I realize. More than I was aware of, anyway. Well, when you cut someone's hair daily and carefully make it so it really seemed to grow backwards, like in the weather video, you really get to know someone, I guess. That was Phil's thing. It was always about finding the exact point where a sound becomes just audible, the exact tempo a change is noticeable to the eye, or even to the skin for that sake, before you even know it with your mind. In many of Phil's works, it's all about that moment when you realize that the transition from ruby red to this bright orange has passed completely outside of your awareness, and yet it must have happened. Phil could give you this kind of experience with the most simple shift out of an everyday situation, long before amateur views or the homecoming paintings produced for the Documenta 13, when it finally had become more widely acknowledged how extraordinarily gifted Phil was.
I don't know how to talk about Phil. I feel in a way we had a strange relationship as the hairdresser. So we had this moment where we shared our secrets, and then Phil turned out in the world and was like a stranger in a big world for me, and just a costumer. Phil was often here to cut the hair, and always such crazy hairstyles. I think sometimes Phil changed the hair color almost daily, and such crazy hair. The bleaching always, and Phil's hair was so broken. It was horrible. It was like a nightmare as a hairdresser. And he was a demanding costumer. I always try to say him to go like not so crazy and a little bit simpler, and to cut the hair. But to be honest, everything fits into Phil's look. So don't know how to say crazy, extravagant, fancy, always something new, like crazy artist, like in some way, like the art of Phil. High plateau shoes, and always these chewed nails. Can remember the last time when Phil came here. He wore old, worn sneakers. No makeup, no fancy bling bling. Phil looked sadly burned out. I don't know, it was kind of weird, and we stayed silent for a long while, like this fucking awkward, I don't know. And then I cut and dyed, and Phil still was silent. And then Phil started to tell about the sound piece that shakes the whole underground, like dark, whispering sounds, creepy, soft, stronger, harder. I don't really get it, because I don't know if I like or get Phil's art. I can't understand what Phil is doing. I mean, in a way, there are so much performance from Phil who touched me in a way, but somehow the art world and these pieces are so far away from me, and Phil often try to explain me and bring me closer, but I really don't get it. And this time he said, yeah, sit down and listen to it. I shuddered and my whole body trembled, and like the sound crept me. It was like ghosts tickled me, breathed into my ears, a little bit stronger, and then grabbed my neck and took me into a dark world of sounds and whispers. In this moment, Phil was so far away from me, and I just wanted Phil to leave, and like now I know what I can say, but that was the last time we see each other.
I just can't get you out of my head. Boy, your love is all I think about. I just can't get you out of my head. Boy, your love is all I think about. La 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 la.
Well, that was the incredible artist career of Phil Kassel. With a few contribution, I won't say the names because I'm bad with names, so I'm give the microphone, you have to come close because the line is short. So thank you everybody for listening with us live, streaming or here in Localint, and that was the name of the contributors.
Sonja Fuchs, Lubia Kolbrenner, Christoph Steinmann, Meret Schuppach, Aline Schuppach, Andrea Marioni.
Thank you very much.